2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look at one verse to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Is everybody there? Okay, good. I want you to see this. Now keep in mind, this is essentially God speaking to us through the Apostle Paul. And it says in verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Rather simple verse, but a very profound message. And if you look at this, you'll notice that he says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that this change is a process, does it not? It tells us that we're starting off at one point and we see a goal in front of us. And as he's put it here, the glory of the Lord, we see this goal in front of us, and he says we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. So the image that we're supposed to be changed into is the image of Christ. You know, we can pretty well understand that. And he says that we're changed into that image from glory to glory. Now, since this is in God's Word, can you see how that this obviously must be something that God wants us to experience? He wants us to go through this change to end up at that desired goal. What is the desired goal? To conform to the image of Christ. To be as Christ in this world. See, Jesus, we won't go into a whole lot of the detail about this, but he essentially did the same thing, but he conformed to the image of the Father. Remember what he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father"? Okay, we now are supposed to be changing into the image of Christ. So just as Jesus conformed to the image of the Father, we're supposed to be conforming to the image of Christ. That is God's will for us, for every single one of us, because he says we all. And he wasn't just speaking about the Corinthian church, he's talking here about the body of Christ. He says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now there are, if you will, conditions in this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. If you are not beholding the glory of the Lord, then you're not changing into that same image. Can you see this? If you're not, okay, think of it like this. Every one of you in here knows what you want your hair to look like before you walk out of the house in the morning, correct? How many of you do it without a mirror? None of you, right? Yeah, well, he could. Yeah, some of us might be able to get away with some of that. But you know what I'm talking about. You look in a mirror. Now, why is it that you look in a mirror? It's because on the inside of you, you have a mental image of what you want your hair to look like before you walk away from that mirror. Am I right? So you stand in front of that mirror and you'll use the brush, the hair dryer, the gel, the spray. I mean, whatever it takes. You'd even have a dog come in and lick on your head if that's what would work. You just know what you want your hair to look like before you walk out of the house. And so you stand in front of that mirror until the image in the mirror matches the image you have on the inside of you of what you want your hair to look like. You understand what I'm saying? He says here that we have an image before us, or we're supposed to have an image before us, and it's the image of Christ. You say, well, where is that image? Well, essentially, it's what you see in Scripture. Whatever you see in the Word of God, that's what we're supposed to conform to. Now, if we are before that image, we will begin experiencing this change. He's guaranteeing it. He says, listen, if you're beholding the image, then you're going to be changed into that image from glory to glory. You're going to go through this process of change. It's not going to happen overnight. In other words, think of it this way. There are stages that you're going to go through in your growth. There are stages you're going to go through in your spiritual development as you conform to that image. With that in mind, what I want to do this morning is point out some things to you that will help you to understand maybe a little bit better about what's going on in the body of Christ and why there is such a widespread, you know, a popular word, diversity. Why there's so much diversity in the body of Christ. Why is it that you have one group over here like this and another group over here like that? Why are there so many differences? I'm going to show you today. And this is going to be kind of a challenge, really, because as we, and the stages that I'm going to share with you today, these things that I'm going to reveal to you in God's Word are things that God wants for every single believer, bar none. It doesn't mean that every single believer will ever get to all of these, but it's what God wants and it's what God intends. And it's like they're crossroads of change, if you will. As you reach each one of these, what you do when you get there is going to determine the course of your life. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do when you get to that crossroad, then you're going to stay at that crossroad until you make the right decision. You aren't going to go any further. Now, let's walk through some things. First off, I want to point out to you that there were seven major events in the life of Jesus. Seven major events in the life of Jesus. First one was when he was born. That's a major event, is it not? I mean, after all, you have to go through a real change to go from heaven to baby in earth, right? So the first major change, the first major event in Jesus' life was when he was born. The second major event was when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Baptized in water, comes out. Holy Spirit, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the second major event in Jesus' life. The third major event in Jesus' life was his wilderness experience. Remember when he went out, fasted 40 days, and had that encounter with the devil? The fourth major event, was when he was in the garden, praying right before he was arrested and crucified. Remember that? He prayed, sweat, his drops of blood, so on and so forth. That was the fourth major event in his life. The fifth major event was the cross. The sixth major event was the resurrection. Seventh major event was his ascension back to the Father. Those were the seven major events in Jesus' life. Now, there were a lot of very important things that happened in between. We understand that. You know, it's very important. And it is a major event when you're raising people from the dead. That's a big thing. But as far as the major events in his life, it's when he was born, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the wilderness experience, when he was in the garden, when he was on the cross, when he was raised from the dead, and when he ascended to the Father. Those are the seven major events in his life. What I'm going to do today is point out to you seven major events that God wants to take place in the life of every single believer. And it's in the Word. And I'm going to show you. And outside of these seven major events, there are a lot of other things that are going to be filler. Like when Jesus was teaching in the temple, like when Jesus was feeding the thousands with the bread and the fish, like when Jesus was speaking to the wind and the storm and so forth. These were all filler events in between each major event. Likewise, all of us are going to have filler events in between each major event. However, each one of these major events is something that God wants to have happen in every single person's life. And the reason for this is because these major events are the things that are going to take us from glory to glory, conforming to the image of Christ. And if we don't, when we get to the crossroads of these major events, depending upon what we do with them, is literally going to set the course for our entire life and what we do and how we conform to the image of Christ and how much we're able to do for Him and how much He's able to do in and with us. Now, the first major event in the life of every person, and we're not going to turn to this particular passage because I think just about everybody has it memorized. One of the first verses that I think that they teach you as a little child. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The first major event that God wants to take place in the life of every human being is a John 3:16 experience. He wants you to be born again. And for a Christian, that is the first major event in your life, is that moment that you are born again. That is the starting place for every single member of the body of Christ. Herein lies the problem. Using the crossroads example, you come to the crossroad of hearing John 3:16 preached. You come to the crossroad of hearing that you must be born again. You make a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So what you have done is you have passed that crossroad and you're continuing on the right direction. Do you have that mental image? You see what I'm, you understand this? You've passed that crossroad and now you're continuing in the direction that God wants you to continue. The next major crossroad that God wants to take place in your life and in the lives of all Christians, the next major crossroad is Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Coupled with Acts 1:8 is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That is the next major crossroads that God wants you to encounter. You say, well, why is that one the next? Well, for those of you that have hit that crossroad and passed it, you know why that needs to be the next. Here's the problem, though. Most Christians, probably most. I'll just use the word many. Many Christians hit that crossroad, and what do? Stop. They stop. They refuse to drive past that crossroad. So here's what's happened. They came to the crossroad of John 3:16, and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now they're born again. God wants them to come to the next crossroad, which is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. God wants them to get to that place. And quite frankly, most Christians, I believe, reach that crossroad some way, somehow in their life. Many of us reach that crossroad by being raised in a church that tells us that crossroad is not for us. The fact that we've been exposed to that crossroad means we're at it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here we are, we're at the Acts 1:8 crossroad. Now, what we do at that point determines the course of our life forever. Now, this is a heavy thing. But here's what happens. You come to the Acts 1:8 crossroad, and there it is. Now, you can choose to have that experience, just like Jesus said in His Word. Or, you can stop right there and go no further. Here's what's going to happen. You stop right there, that's as far as God can use you. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I think it was verse 31, if you continue in My Word, then you are My disciples indeed. Okay? Therefore, if I want to be His disciple, I have to continue. Continue. You understand what I'm... Not stop. Continue in His Word. Now, what do I see in His Word? First crossroad, John 3:16. Second crossroad, Acts 1:8. As I continue in His Word, I become His disciple indeed, or I can form more to the image of Him becoming His disciplined follower. So now here I am at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and for whatever reason, I mean, I just the pastors that I've had, the preachers that are my favorites, the books I've read, doesn't matter. Whatever reason, I decide Acts 1:8 is not for me. And it's not, because I don't believe in that. I don't think I need it. I think I'm good enough the way it is. Or I believe I got all the Acts 1:8 I needed to when I John 3:16'd my life. So therefore, I don't need this. So what happens, there's the crossroad. See what I'm saying? I walk up to it, but then I just stop my turn around. Now at a crossroad, you can only do, well, four things. Technically five, but you can go forward, turn to the right, turn to the left, or go backward. And the fifth thing, just stop and stand there and look around. But your choices are limited. And the only one that's going to do you any good is if you go forward. That's the only one that's really going to work for John 8:31 and 2 Corinthians 3:18 to take place in your life, for you to become His disciplined follower, conforming to His image. So here we are at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, crossroad, and we stop. We turn to the left. We turn to the right. We look, now get this, we look for all kinds of things to be the substitute for going straight through that crossroad. I look for bypasses. I can be just as good a Christian as you. I don't need this. I look for detours. Why, I can know just as much, I can love God just as much as you. You telling me I don't love God because I haven't Acts 1-8 in my life? We'll look for anything that we can find that we think is going to enable us to get back on the road if we do not Acts 1-8. Problem is, you're not. Because that road is connected to the Acts 1-8 crossroad. And the only way for you to get back on it is to stay on it. And the only way to stay on it is to pass through that crossroad and make a decision to have an Acts 1-8 experience with the Holy Spirit. So here you have all these Christians all over the world who don't believe in Acts 1-8. You know what I'm talking about. And so what they do, they're in between John 3:16 and Acts 1:8. And they have made a conscious decision. This is not for me. I don't need it, whatever reason. So now here they are in this one realm that is in between John 3:16 and Acts 1:8. You know what? They're serving God as best they can. They're doing everything they can for God that they believe God wants them to do. And God is using them as best as He can in that region between Acts 1:8 and John 3:16. He'll use them as much as He can. Problem is, they're never going to fully conform to the image of Christ. They're never going to go from glory to glory because the road of that confirmation includes Acts 1:8. And if you don't Acts 1:8 your life, then you're not going to go any further in God. See, a lot of folks would argue with this and say, well, everybody can go further in Jesus. They just see it differently than what you do. No. What's in the Word? The Word. Jesus said, again, continue in My Word and you'll be My disciples, My disciplined followers. So if I continue in His Word, He said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if I'm going to continue in that Word, and if I'm going to conform to the same image from glory to glory, and if I'm going to become His disciplined follower, man, I've got to pass through that crossroad of Acts 1:8. It's not an option. I can stay right where I am and still go to heaven. I can stay right where I am and be used of God as much as He possibly can. But that is as far as I can go, and that is as much as He can use me. He cannot use me in an Acts 1:8 way if I refuse to go through that crossroad. Do you see this? So you've got a bunch of Christians out there, they love Jesus, they love God, they're doing their best to serve Him as much as they can, and God is using them as much as He can, but they have refused to go any further in their walk with Him. They've refused to pass through that crossroad. Now these other crossroads that I'm going to share with you can come up at different times. They're not a specific order, if you will, because it all depends upon who's driving the car. What I mean by that is, who's teaching you? And in some cases, somebody may teach you to the point of one crossroad before teaching you to the point of another crossroad. Let me explain. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There are several verses that we could use in conjunction with this one verse, but we're just going to read the one to illustrate the point here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. See it? He that speaketh with an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Once again, this came from God. It's an instruction to the church. Therefore, I know from this and from other passages that we could look at, but we won't. If I pray in the Spirit, I'm edifying myself. If I pray in the Spirit, I'm edifying myself. So what's the crossroad? The crossroad is this. I've already passed through John 3:16. I've already passed through Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now I have arrived at a crossroad of 1 Corinthians 14:4 that tells me if I pray in tongues, I will edify myself. Now, if I'm going to continue in His Word to be His disciplined follower, and if I'm going to conform to His image from glory to glory, then guess what? I have to pass through the 1 Corinthians 14:4 crossroads and accept that praying in tongues is the way that I edify myself and begin to pray in tongues so that I can edify myself and continue this process of conforming to the same image from glory to glory. Can you see this? Okay, now what happens though? You have people that have passed through John 3:16, they've passed through Acts 1:8, everything's going fine, then all of a sudden, they come up to this crossroads of 1 Corinthians 14:4. And they are told, listen, you need to pray in tongues. Why? Why, you can't do that. Well, why not? Well, you just can't. You have to wait for the unction. You have to wait for the Holy Ghost to move. You can't just pray in tongues any time that you want. If you don't feel Him, then you can't pray in tongues. Well, yeah, but what the Bible says this, and the Bible says that, and over here this, and Jesus said, and then Jude, and that's just not the way we believe it. Okay, so now what do you have? You have people. They breeze through John 3:16, they breeze through Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and they've come to the crossroad of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. Now you've got a choice to make. You are going to continue in His Word and begin to pray in tongues and experience that edification, or you're going to stop right there. Now, what happens if you stop right there? Are you going to, Jude yourself, build yourself up on your most holy faith? Are you going to pray the mysteries? Are all these other things that are related to praying in the Spirit, is any of that going to happen? No. You're not going to get praying in tongues results if you don't pray in tongues. So here you are, you're at this crossroad, and you've got a choice to make. You are either going to take a look at all the things that you've been taught about praying in tongues, if you've been taught anything about praying in tongues, and you're going to say, look, if it lines up with this instruction, this continuing in His Word, then I will embrace that teaching and apply it to my life. However, if you have told me that this crossroad is one that Christians can't cross anytime they want, that I have to wait for the Holy Ghost to give me some kind of spiritual, goose or whatever to get me to, speak a little in tongues or something, then, I'm just going to stay right here. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. I've got to wait for the Holy Ghost to give me the goosey bumps and all this other, but you cannot pray in tongues anytime you want because my pastor said so. Okay, but whose road are you walking? Well, you've turned right or you've turned left and you're walking on the road that's been laid for you by the spiritual leaders that you're following. Okay? Remember what Jesus said over in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Remember that? You know why they hear His voice? It's because, here's why. You follow the voice you listen to the most. You follow the voice you listen to the most. If it's the voice of your pastor, you're going to follow your pastor. God help you if you're following my voice. I'm trying to get you to hear His. Yeah. If you follow the voice of the radio preacher, you're making a mistake. If you follow the voice of the books that you're reading, you're making a mistake. The tapes that you hear, you're making a mistake. I mean, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So as Paul's following Christ and people are following Paul, guess whose voice they're going to hear? The voice of Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to follow whatever voice you listen to the most. So now, you've got one voice that's telling you you can't pray in tongues anytime that you want, and you've got another voice that's coming straight from the Word of God that says, but if you do pray in the Spirit, you will edify yourself. Now you're going to have to decide what voice you're going to listen to. One voice is going to tell you, pass that crossroad and begin edifying yourself. The other voice is going to tell you that you can't. And so what happens? If you choose not to pass that crossroad, here you are again. You passed John 3:16, you passed Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but now you're stuck right here at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. And you know what? You love God, you love Jesus, you're serving Him the best that you can, and God will use you as much as He possibly can. But until the edification has taken place in your life, He cannot use you within the structure of that edification. Think of it as though you're building a building. You cannot bring the office furniture into the 14th floor if you only have 8 floors built. Are you with me? Some people are wanting God to use them in a 14th floor way, and they've only got a 3-story building. And he says, listen, until you get past 1 Corinthians 14:4 and you start edifying yourself, I can't use you. Not like this. I'll use you as much as I can in between Acts 1:8 and 1 Corinthians 14:4, but I can't use you beyond the 1 Corinthians 14:4 verse 11 because you parked your car. And you're not going any further than this. So you're going to have to get past this crossroad. Okay? So we pass that crossroad. We come to another one. Look in Ephesians. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians. But look, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's talking about Jesus and the gifts that He's given to man. Look in verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now turn back over, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, which corresponds with the evangelist, then gifts, plural, of healings, plural, which corresponds to the pastor, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Okay, now here's the crossroad. The crossroad is this. You suddenly find out that the entire scope of ministry callings is contained in what we just read. Now, you maybe have heard differently. For example, you may believe that you are called to be an architect. Okay? All right, now, an architect may be your occupation, but it is not your calling. There is no such thing in the Bible as the ministry of architect. You say, well, I don't believe I'm called to be an architect, but I do believe my ministry calling is that of nursery worker. No, it's not. You may help by serving in the area of the nursery. You may help your church, but that is not a ministry calling. It's not listed there in Scripture. There is no ministry calling of nursery worker. Well, I believe that I'm called to the ministry of worship leader. Where did you see that in the list we just read? Oh, but Brother Martin. Why, there are worship leaders all over the place. I know that. Why, there are even people that are worship pastors. I've heard that too. That's not my question. My question is not what you've heard or what you've seen. My question is, what's in the Word? If we continue in His Word, what's in it? This is a major, major crossroad for many people because they believe that they are called to the ministry of piano player or nurse, you know, or whatever. And then they begin to find out, now wait a second, there are occupations and then there are ministry callings. In some cases, the twain meet, as in a full-time evangelist. That is not only occupation, but that is also calling. But in many cases, you may serve as a brain surgeon. That's occupation. And you're serving the people that come in for brain surgery, but that is not ministry calling. Now, all of a sudden, here you are, you're faced with the realization that when you were in church that one day and they handed out those little questionnaires and you filled in all the little blanks and you added up all the numbers and you came up with, you know, a grand total and you compared that grand total to these, you know, 35 different categories and figured out that you're this. You know, you're the ministry of cotton picker or, you know, whatever. You figure, you see, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. You, one day, somebody stands up and points you back to the Word and shows you how that no, you wasted your time, the paper, and the pencil that you used to fill that questionnaire out, and God wasn't in it.
Oh, yes, He was.
No, He wasn't. Because the scope of ministry callings is identified in the Word of God, not some questionnaire that a Christian psychologist came up with to help identify personality types. Your personality type is not your calling. Your calling's identified in Scripture. This is a hard saying for many people. because they've been led to believe that whatever they want to do, I'm called to the ministry of horticulturalist. No, you may like flowers and things like that. That may be your occupation, but that is not your ministry calling. So now here you are at this crossroads. You're at the Ephesians 4 crossroads. And you're seeing in the Word, as you continue in the Word, you're seeing in the Word that my ministry calling is identified by God's Word, not man's definitions. So now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to take the thing that you have been pursuing for so many years? Are you willing to toss it out the window? I'm not saying you quit your job. What I'm saying is, now that you realize this thing over here that you've been doing is not a ministry calling identified in Scripture, what are you going to do with that? Are you willing to accept the fact that you've been wrong and now redirect your focus to God's Word to find out what your calling is? Are you willing to accept what that calling might bring? Oh, but I just can't see myself doing any of those things. Funny thing, God can. Or He wouldn't have them in the Word, and you wouldn't be here. God can see you doing one of those things, maybe more. You're looking at it through the eyes that have been given to you by religion, not through Scripture, not through God's eyes. So now here you are at this crossroad, and you realize, okay, I've got to make a choice here. I either accept that all this stuff over here, these things aren't ministry callings, and that really the ministry callings are self-defined in Scripture, so I need to pursue that. But I'm happy where I am. No, you're not. You're happy where you are because it's a comfort zone. You're happy where you are because people around you tell you that's what you... Oh, what a wonderful ministry. Then you find out it's not a ministry after all. There is no such thing as a ministry of taxi cab driver. There is no such thing as a ministry of bricklayer. There are occupations, but they aren't ministries. So now you're at a crossroad, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, okay, God, I guess I'm one of these things, and I'm not one of this bunch over here. I want to find out what I am here according to your word, God. Because I'm going to tell you what, until you do, you are going no further with Him. You have to first accept the fact that there are occupations and there are ministry callings, and you have to accept the fact that God has already established. He's not adding to Scripture. How many of you figured that out? So if He's not adding to Scripture, that means He's not creating new ministries. Now, you operate in your ministry maybe differently from generation to generation, culture to culture, but the calling is still the same. The ministries are still the same. So therefore, you have to decide if you were going to let God define for you what ministry callings are, and if you're going to let God decide for you what your ministry calling is, because if you don't do that, if you pass John 3:16, Acts 1:8, 1 Corinthians 14:4, but now you're trying to pursue the ministry calling of worship leader, what you're actually doing is turning to the left or turning to the right. You're not going forward. Because the only way that you can continue in His Word is to continue in His Word, what He has said. The only way that you're going to go forward and conform to the image of Christ is based upon the standard that He's established there in His Word. Let's look at another crossroad. And again, like I said, you know, these can come up at different times in your life. Look over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 23. Jesus says, "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." We're not going to go into a whole lot more verses. But here's what the one we're getting at. Worship. Worship. You get into the Word, you begin to find out that worship is not just singing. You let God define worship for you, and you find out that it includes a whole lot of things that many churches say you're not supposed to do. And you're confronted, you reached a crossroad, and this is going to be a challenge for some folks. Paul talked about, what is it then? Pray with the Spirit, pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding. You know, you hit this crossroads of worship. And somebody begins taking you through Scripture and showing you that, hey, fooey on your feelings and fooey on your emotions and fooey on your stinky, lousy, smelly little old pride. What you think about you is not as important as what you think about Jesus. Oh, but I love Him with all my heart, and you'll worship Him in spirit and truth. Well, yeah, but you know, that's just not the way I am. You're born again, aren't you? Well, yeah, then that's how you are. It's in you. Whether you let it out or not is totally up to you. And we talked about the worship thing before many times. I'm telling you right now, for some of the folks hearing this, this is a major sticking point. You have hit this crossroad and you are going no further with God. And you better get it settled in your heart till you break through the flesh and you start worshiping God. You're stuck. You're stuck. Well, I don't believe that. Based on what? Did not Jesus say, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth? Then we go through the Bible and we find out how God defines worship. He defines worship as a dance. He defines worship singing in the spirit, singing with the understanding. He defines worship as with your hands lifted up. He defines worship as with people being bowed down. I mean, we go all through Scripture and we find out how God has defined praise and worship. And when you hit this crossroad, there's, see, a lot of folks, man, they're cool with the singing. But when it comes to free worship, you clam up. I mean, it's like you've got spiritual constipation, man. You won't let anything out. That's something that really irritates me, because I consider that to be one of the absolute epitomes of pure hypocrisy. Don't give me this bull, you're worshiping God when all you do is sing the songs that are flashed up on the Word. I mean, I feel something on the inside of me when I'm around people and they'll sing the songs, but when it comes to Jesus, I praise You. Jesus, I worship You. I love You, Jesus. I glorify Your name. You hush up. We don't know if you're living or dead. The only reason we know you're alive is because maybe you're still standing and your nostrils are flaring while you're breathing. That's about it. But you don't worship. Man, fooey on you in love. Man, what's wrong with you? I'm serious. Why can't you worship God? I'll tell you, it's just your flesh. It's just flesh and pride. That's all it is. And you're at a crossroads. And I'm telling you right now, you are going no further with God until you get past this thing. I'm showing this to you in the Word. In the Word. This isn't just, you know, some jaw-flapping preacher standing up on a soapbox. I've been where you are when it comes to feeling self-conscious and uncomfortable about lifting hands and about singing in the Spirit and about praising God and just singing and making that kind of melody. I've been there. I know those feelings of self-consciousness. I know what that's like. And the only thing that's going to break, God's not going to slap you in the back of the head and make it come out. The only thing that's going to change that is when you decide you're going to do it. So here you are at this worship crossroads. You're at the John chapter 4 crossroads. And until you begin doing it, until you pass that crossroad, you are stuck right where you are. So here you are floundering around. God will use you as much as He can. But He is not going to be able to use you in the things that worship can produce in your life until you do it. And this is, your worship's not about your emotions. Your worship's not about your feelings. Your worship is about your spirit. Your worship is about who you are in Christ. That's what your worship is about. And you know, if you've got an issue with this thing of worshiping Him, if you've got an issue with it, you had better get over it. Because you're at a crossroads. See, this is part of the problem about being in a church like this. You hit a lot of these crossroads. Man, forget about what people think about you. I'm serious. Forget about your wife, your boyfriend, but everybody. This, you're worshiping Jesus, not them. You see, hey, listen. Well, we got kids. It's going to talk about husbands and wives and, you know, how you're not too embarrassed about certain things. You know what I'm talking about? So why is it then that you struggle with the concept? He said, well, I just can't sing. So what? Don't sing then. Just Jesus. Everybody else says, I worship You, Jesus. I praise Your name. Then just Jesus, I praise You. I glorify You, Jesus. I honor You. You can still do it. You can still do it. And I'm telling you right now, if you back off when you have the opportunity to enter into what we call free worship, if you back off when that time comes, then you are stuck at that crossroad and you're going no further, and you better get past yourself because you're the one that's holding you back. It's not God. See, God showed me a while back, this is one of the reasons why there are some people in this church that are never going to be used by Him the way that He could use them. It's because you're refusing to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You are too embarrassed and self-conscious about what people are going to see in you, and you're not worshiping Him. And I'm telling you right now, this is something, and it applies to this church, any other church, anywhere else, body of Christ. This is a crossroad that people are going to get to. Hopefully. Some churches, they'll never get you to this crossroad because they don't believe it. But guess what? You don't go there, you go here. And you're listening to this tape. So the problem is, man, you better get past this crossroad. Because until you do, you're not going to be conforming and changing more into the image of the same glory that worship can produce. Look at another crossroad, Matthew chapter 6. I don't even want to look at this one. Yeah, somebody knows where we're headed on that. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 17. Oh, but thou, when thou... fast... But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Fasting! Ooh! I don't want that crossroad. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. That's a crossroad that I think somebody hooked up a tow chain to the back of my car, you know, to the stop sign of that crossroad or something. It's like, man, I'm not going to lie to you. That's one that even I struggle with. This fasting thing. But I'm telling you what, it's a crossroad. You know, we're talking about fasting in the laying the foundations classes. I mean, there's so many different ways and so on that you can fast. But the thing is, it's a crossroad. And until you get past that crossroad, then you're not going to conform to the image from glory to glory in the way that fasting can help you to change. See, all of these things that are in Scripture, these are crossroads for all of us. It's not just a few people. These are crossroads for everybody. You know, you may hit the worship crossroad before you hit the fasting crossroad, or the fasting crossroad before you hit the worship crossroad. I don't know. Like I said, it all depends on what you're hearing and what you're being taught. But the bottom line is, when you come to that crossroad, you've got a decision to make. You either do it or you don't. Well, I've got a medical condition. Oh, man, everybody's got a medical condition. It's called you're dying. Your body is in the process of dying. And if the Lord tarries, we're all going to be going to each other's funerals. That's just the way it works. But between now and then, there are ways that we can fast. Of course, we'll all start tomorrow, right? Hallelujah. Yes. But this is a crossroad. Let's look at another one. I think we spent plenty of time on that one. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, what's the crossroad here? Considering how that all Christians read the Bible, what's the crossroad here? The crossroad here is to study to show yourself approved unto God. Meaning that any time that you come in contact with a doctrine that you've always believed, and then you find out that that doctrine is in conflict with what God has said in His Word, your studying of His Word is not to confirm the doctrine. Your studying of His Word is to confirm what He has said. Meaning, you're willing to lay down any wrong doctrine to be right in the eyes of God, so that what you believe lines up with what He says and has established. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for many things, including doctrine. But again, at this crossroad, here's what happens. People hear things that go against what they've always heard in their church, and they choose to accept what they've always heard in their church. You know how it goes? Well, that's not how we teach it. That's not how we believe it around here, etc. and so forth. So the worship, the praying in the Spirit, I mean, the fasting, I mean, all these different things that are there. The crossroad is this. You make a decision that you're going to leave God's Word in context. You make a decision that you're going to study it line upon line, precept upon precept. You make a decision you're going to be like the Bereans that are named, identified in the book of Acts. You're going to study the Scriptures to find out if these things be so. What it means is that when you hear something and somebody shows you something in God's Word that all of a sudden explains a passage like you've never heard it before, you're not going to just say, wow, wasn't that great, and then tell everybody about it. You're going to get in the Word and find out if it's true. And you're going to let the Holy Spirit play a role in this. You're going to pray in the Spirit and let Him help you out. Problem is, again, a lot of folks, they reach that crossroad and they stop, they go no further. And the reason they go no further is because they don't want to admit they've been wrong about something. And they're studying to show themselves approved under their church, their pastor, their organization, their denomination, etc. and so forth. The only way that you're going to, remember, again, He said, continue in My Word, you'll be My disciple. The only way that you're going to continue is if you make a decision to pass this crossroad and you choose, no matter what it costs you, you choose God's Word over the popular belief of your church, of your family, of your husband, your wife, your kids, your mom, your dad, your Sunday school teacher. You choose God's Word and His truth over all the books that you have by Pastor so-and-so. No matter what Pastor so-and-so says, if it doesn't line up with what's in God's Word. Because you see, as long as you try to conform to the image of everything else that is taught, you're not conforming to the image of what God's giving in His Word. So therefore, if you don't pass this crossroad, you're stuck right where you are. God will use you as much as you can. He loves you. You love Him. You're going to heaven. But when you get there, you're going to find out how that a lot of the things you believed and held on to were wrong. This is a tough one for a lot of folks. We've lost people over the years that I've been here. We've lost people. People have left this church because they refused to do what I told them to do. Well, you don't run people's life. Now, wait a minute. When I say things like, don't just take my word for it, get in the Word, study it out for yourself, pray, let the Holy Spirit confirm or deny what I'm telling you, they refuse to do that. Think about it. They refuse to do that. Of course, I know all the rest of you, you're not like that. Amen? Amen, Brother Martin. Hallelujah. Okay, what are we getting at here? All these crossroads. These are the seven, what I've just gone through, these are the seven major crossroads that you're going to hit in your life. Now, what are you going to do? Because what you do when you hit these crossroads literally sets the course for the rest of your existence here in this world. I mean, till the day the Lord comes back or the day you die. It sets the course for everything you do and what you accomplish, the way that you conform to the image of God's glory. And it's not God that's determining your path, it's you. He brings you to the place of these crossroads, and then you have to make a choice. You can stay right where you are and serve Him right where you are, and He'll use you as much as He can. Don't worry about that. He'll use you as much as you can. But if you're wanting to conform to the fullness of His image, and if you want to be changed from glory to glory, you have to keep passing crossroad after crossroad. He never said it was going to be easy to do this. He just said this is what you have to do. He never said all this change was going to be a cakewalk. Guys, it's not. It's going to take some effort. You're going to be challenged. We're all going to be challenged. It's going to take some work on our part so that we make this change to conform. But the thing is, the more that we conform, the more He's able to use us. The more that we conform, the more that people begin to see Christ in us, just like they saw the Father in Christ. You see this? So the choice is totally up to us. And the thing that's going to be frustrating is you're going to come across people in your life, and you may know some right now, they are stuck at a crossroad you've already passed. And you can't for the life of you figure out why it is they can't get past that crossroad. And it's going to be frustrating for you. I mean, so frustrating you wish that if you could just slap them hard enough in the head, you'd jar something loose and everything would be okay. Problem is, it won't work like that. If it did, we'd have a head slapping service. You know, bring in all your confused people. We'll just line them up. (Laughter) We have no scripture for that, so. Yeah. And you see, you know what their life could be like if they'd passed that crossroad. And you know the change that could take place in them. And it's like they just won't do it. Now, guess what? God's looking at us the same way. He's saying, if you just get past the crossroad of worship, your life is going to be so much better and so much different. You're going to be changing so much more from glory to glory. If you just get past the crossroad of praying in tongues, if you just get past the crossroad of studying to show yourself approved unto me, if you just get past the crossroad of fasting, if you just get past these crossroads, I know what will happen in you. Now, I'll use you as much as I can where you are, but if you get past these things, I'm going to be able to use you so much more. You long for an outpouring of my power. You long for a demonstration of my presence. You can have it, but you've got to get past these things. This is why over there, it's kind of like a funnel. Everybody starts off at John 3:16, and from that point on, you start losing people, and losing people, and losing people, and losing people. It's like Jesus said over there in Matthew, I think it was Matthew 20, 24, something like that, how that many are called, few are chosen. What he's talking about is many are the ones that have responded to the call of salvation. Many are the ones who have passed the John 3:16 crossroads. But when it comes to fully being used by me, there are very few that make it past all the crossroads and stay diligent in what they're doing. And the ones that do, those few, those are the ones that are going to be changed more and more from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, conforming more and more to my image, doing the works that I said they could do. See, the choice is totally up to us. It's completely our choice. Now, for many of us who are here today, and those maybe many listening to this by tape, you've passed a whole lot of these crossroads. And you are changing. Praise God for that. I mean, man, look at you. You really are changing. And you're going from glory. You've left, you know, one level of glory, you're at another level, and to another level, and so forth. But in everything that I've shown you today, these seven crossroads, okay? Maybe you've passed three, four, five of them, but what about the ones that remain? What's it going to take? What is it going to take to get us to go past the one we're stuck at? I don't know, Brother Martin. I just wish God had come along and moved me. He's not. You know what it's going to take? You. It's going to take you, whatever crossroad I'm at, I have to make the decision to go past that thing. It's up to me. Whatever crossroad you're at, or crossroads that we're at, we have to be the one to make that decision. God's not going to do it for us. We have to make that decision. And once we do, we're stepping into new levels. And the whole time that we're on that road, after we pass that crossroad, we keep, you know, we don't look back, we just keep going on, we're changing more and more and more. We're changing more and more. We're applying what we know, and we're conforming more and more to the image of Christ. You know, I have this belief that when we get to heaven, God's going to show us what could have been. We're going to stand there looking at this, the us that could have been. And we're going to think, how could I have been so stupid to not pass that crossroad, to become what He is showing me now? It's going to be too late then. You know what? I don't want to be that way. And the only thing that's going to prevent it is me making a decision to go past my next crossroad. That's the only thing that's going to work. Is it easy? Like I said, no. Can it be done? Absolutely. And you know what? We need to thank God that we know of these crossroads. You know why? Because there are so many churches out there. They've gone through the John 3:16 crossroad. You know what? They're not even told about the other ones. They're not even taught about the other ones. Or whatever teaching they get, they're told that these crossroads don't exist. And so here they are, living their lives, and they don't even understand that they can change. Listen, I want to know what it's going to take for the change. At least take me to the crossroad. At least give me the chance to go past. What I do at that point is totally up to me. Praise God, at least I know. Praise God, at least I know now in this life what it's going to take for me to be changed from glory to glory into the same image as Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Praise God.